2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Now, a lot of times I give you an overview of the book that we're fixing to jump into right now. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm just going to get right into the message in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll know that I preached last Sunday night on thorns. Yeah. And I'll not be preaching this Sunday night. Like I said, the young people be preaching. So I felt like the Lord would let me. I told you I had a two-part series. And so this is the second part of it. And so I'm going to be preaching on thorns this morning. You know, we looked at thorns and at the product. It's a product of the curse. And we realize it came in because Adam's disobedient because of fall. We're from one man's sin in the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all have sinned. But one of the part was just not death. There was sevenfold reason or sevenfold action took place when man fell. And one of those was that thorns and thistles. One was that the thorns would come forth. And before that time, there was no thorns. There was roses without thorns. But now there's thorns with roses. We live in a world full of thorns. Yeah. And I'm glad there's some roses in this world. But then we say it's a product of the curse. And then we looked at it, so the thorn is present in every country. And we realize that the curse is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The thorn was also worn by, a crown of thorns was worn by our Lord Jesus Christ. And he took our thorns. He took our pain. He took our sin. And then the thorn said by Isaiah, I love this one, Isaiah 55, said that, hey, they're going to finally come a time our thorns are going to be changed. Yeah. Be changed in the future. I'm glad the millennial's coming, a thousand-year reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we're going to reign, rule and reign with him with a thousand years. And things will be different down upon this earth. That curse will be lifted. What a blessing that will be. We thank the Lord for that. But as we looked at all those thorns, I want to look at Paul's thorns, and I want to call this, we want to look at a personal thorn. Each and every one of us, I believe in your Christian walk, there'll be something in your life that we could compare or similar to a thorn. And so let's look at it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measures. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. God, we pray for the anointing power of the sweet Holy Ghost. God, we pray you'll fill us and use us and help us to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, may you go beyond us, God. And may, Father, you touch in the lives of those that are here. And God, may you touch the spiritual side of their life. May their spiritual eyes be opened. And Father, may they find victory in the midst of what they're going through. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
You know, Paul here, the great apostle that We see the great conversion of Paul as he seen the Lord on the road to Damascus, and what a thrill that must have been. But he had two other experiences in his life that he's wrote about right here. I believe these two experiences affected his life probably more than anything else except for that Damascus Road experience. You'll see the first experience here was a heavenly experience. I believe Paul's speaking about himself being caught up into heaven. And there he is, and he's that man that was mentioned. He's that one that's caught up into heaven. It was a heavenly experience. But we see this second experience is a humbling experience. A thorn in the flesh has been given unto him. We see the first experience was a pleasant experience. I mean, he got to see things that we couldn't even utter. He couldn't even tell people about. Amen. What a blessing that must have been. But the second experience was a physical experience. It was something that was agonizing, something that was in his flesh that would be persistently and continue to bother him. We see the first one was involved about the eternal world above. The second one involved this earthly world that we live in. And the world that you and I will serve God in. We find also that one could not fully be remembered. He couldn't understand all about it. But one he couldn't ever forget. That one in the flesh. And so as he's looking at these two experiences, as he's looking at these two things in his life, one could not be shared. And the other one could not be hid. People could see that it was in his life. We find that one he was carried away by God. The other one, he was carried into the presence of Satan. The messenger of Satan was buffeted him. One took him to God, one took him to Satan. It was in the scriptures, this about his experience out of the body, seeing things that could not be spoke, is really minimized. It's not spoken of. You hardly ever hear anybody speak about it. But oh, this one about the thorn in the flesh is maximized. For my grace is sufficient. My grace. And we hear this talked about and told how that the grace of God can help us in the midst of that which may be the thorn that we may have in the flesh. We live in a day when people are trying to find all kinds of things to get them excited about serving God. Or all things trying to get them spiritual. Or, you know, they're looking for visions, or they're looking for some kind of emotions, or they want to see some kind of great light, or they want to have some kind of feelings or something. But I'm telling you what, God's not in the business of just making us feel good. Matter of fact, when we come into church, we got kind of a little long idea about coming into church. We almost come into church, and I know most of you don't sit like this, and I thank the Lord for it. Bless me if you can. Even though we may not set like that, we do come into the house of God looking for something to make us feel good. And I'm not saying the Spirit of God, Brother Stringer, can't make us feel good, because it does make us feel good. I like the moving of the Spirit of God. But you know, our God is just not a blessed God. I'm blessing, blessing, blessing. But he's a God that's trying to build character. He's a God that's trying to use us to be a witness. He's God just trying to work and mold us and make us what we should and need to be. Amen. For his glory and for our good. So we come, many's trying to, even some's wanting to see visions and some trying to have out of the body experiences. I mean, you hear about all those things today in this religious and Christendom, if you will. Every kind. I mean, wasn't it a few years ago that they was all running to some place to see this painting that was supposed to be crying? Amen. And then different things. And even it's not just in the Christian realm as far as people that we would say was in falsehood, but if you don't watch it, it creeps into us. Amen. And help me, Lord. Amen. But we start going to church, and you know, if it kind of gets a little dry, we won't go to another church when it gets livelier over there. We're just looking for a feeling. We're just looking for something. God's really moving over there, and we run over there, run over there, run to this or run to that. We have a lot of people that, you know, they just follow camp meeting to camp meeting, trying to stay on a spiritual high. Well, you'll have to realize your life is not going to be lived on the mountaintop. Your life's going to be lived in the valley most of the time. And the God of the mountain, may I tell you, he's still the God of the valley. Amen. He's still as much God in the valley as he is upon the top of the mountain. Boy, we need to learn that. What's amazing to me in our text is Paul puts a lot more emphasis on what's in the flesh than what was in the eternal world. If it had been you and I, we would have talked about, I really don't like to talk about that, which I can't talk about. And you know, I was that man. I would have been bragging I was that man, amen. And then all, but he didn't, he just spoke a few things about that and it's left off the pages. And now we begin to speak about this thorn of the flesh. This is what Paul deals with. We know some things about it. We know it was persistent. It was a persistent problem. We also know it was a physical problem. You said, preacher, do you know what it is? I sure do. I'm just not going to tell you. I don't know what it is. Nobody else knows what it is. We'd all be guessing, but we know this. It was real. It was there. It was persistent. It was physical. It was there. He knew he had it. And so we're going to look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, Paul was no stranger to suffering. Beaten. Cast in jail. Put in stocks. He didn't have a problem suffering. You know, and we never find no word that Paul said, Lord, will you keep me out of suffering? Lord, I'm going to pray to you. Will you keep me out of jail? Now, I would pray that, amen. Would you keep me out of jail? But he didn't pray that. But for some reason, he prayed about this thorn of the flesh. Paul felt like, I believe, that if the Lord would move it, maybe the Lord could use him in a greater way. Maybe he could do greater things for God if God would just take it out of his life. But you know, the great creator and the one that has created all knows what we need. It's true, and I'm getting to the other side of this a little bit. I've preached this thought from a novice for many years. But you know, as you become parents, there's just some things you know your children need. And Brother Hub, a lot of times when those children are young, like your children, they don't understand why they need that.
Yeah.
And Brother George, and they don't really want what you want them to do, or what you're giving them, or what you're making them. They don't understand. And I believe it's in the same spiritual way. We have a Heavenly Father that knows exactly what we need. And us as children, we don't realize, we don't understand what we need. Now, I get in trouble when I preach about Paul sometimes. You know, Paul was a mere man.
Yeah.
A dear, sweet lady, she don't come to church here anymore, but I was preaching through the book of Acts, and I said that Paul sinned, and I was talking about some of Paul's sinning, and she said, no way could he have sinned. He wrote so many books of the Bible. Just because you write a book in the Bible don't mean you're sinless. Just because you come to some spiritual level in your life and you're still flesh. You still have a fleshly mind. You still have a fleshly body. And you'll still sin. Amen. So here Paul, he evidently did not understand what all God was doing here. I believe God was teaching him. Do you think Paul, our great apostle Paul, didn't he not learn at the hands of Jesus too? Did he not learn his spiritual walk? Did he not learn like you and I learn? Oh, yeah. And so here he has a learning curve in his spiritual walk with God. And so why? This is my question, this is my title. Why did God allow Paul to suffer a thorn? Why? And I believe we can glean from this text, I believe we might glean some things. I may be wrong or right, but I believe we can glean some things. The why God allows the thorn of the flesh, allows some trouble, trials, things that would come in our life, there's reasons for them. God's just not trying to put dots together down here. And God's just not trying to make up people and generations of people to finally get to when he's coming back. No, he's concerned about every generation. He's concerned about every soul. He's concerned about every life. He's concerned about every person in this building. If he can count the hair on your head, and he knows how many hairs you have now, he knows how many you've lost. Somebody was very crude. They was looking at the pictures back here, and they was very mean to me, and they said, look, there's a picture when Brother Tim had hair. And I just really quickly told them the reason I don't have hair now is because of the people I pastor. But he knows how many hairs I've lost. I mean, he knows everything about me. I'm just not a number in his economy, but I'm a person, an individual. And here Paul is an individual. He comes before God. And Paul, why did God allow Paul, his great apostle that God would mightily use, why did he allow him to have a thorn? Evidently a thorn that Paul said, hey, if I didn't have this, I want to get rid of this. Because it would help me out to do better things. I could be a better servant of God if I didn't have this. Hey, I could do better things. Well, there was a reason. Some reason God allowed Paul to have this thorn. It wasn't just to have fun. I mean, I'll tell you, when Satan came into audience with God, and we see that in the book of Job, God was just not casting Job out there just for him to play with Job's life. It was to show Satan, here's a man with integrity that loves me, and not just the things I give him. That loves me and will serve me, is perfect and upright, and fears God and eschews evil. Wasn't perfect. But he's not loving me just because of life and the gifts of life. He loves me because he loves me. He loves me.
Yeah.
And you and I see that, and you and I for all these years have got to glean from Job's life. Though he slay me, yet with what? I trust him.
Amen.
Though he try me, I shall come forth as what? Gold.
Amen.
And we see that. Well, somebody has to be a testimony.
Yeah.
And here Paul has been chosen. Could it be? Could it just be? Why did God allow Paul to have this thorn? Could it just be? Look at verse number 7. Could it be that God wanted to help Paul deal with pride?
Yeah.
He said in verse number 7, he says it twice in this verse. And lest I should be exalted above measure. And I don't actually think that exalted above measure just means those that would be his peer and those around would exalt him. But it's really easy for you and I to think a whole lot better about ourselves than what we really are. And it's really easy when it seems like that God spiritually blesses us to get on our spiritual horse, if you will, and seem like we're a little bit higher than those that are around us. Well, some of the easiest things for you and I to do is to be lifted up in pride.
Yeah.
I'm talking about physically as in the world. I mean, if you're doing a better job down on the job, you're doing a better work. Hey, that's wonderful. But it's different when you start telling everybody how good you're doing.
Right.
Maybe you're made it financially and you've reached a level greater than most of us, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad God prospered you, but there's something wrong with it when you start bragging about it.
Yeah.
So there's something about the Bible talks about pride. Do you realize, you know why Lucifer fell? Because of pride. And when you and I are prideful, we're more like the devil than we've ever could be.
Yeah.
We're more like him when we're prideful. And may I say, the pride of life is in each and every one of us.
Amen. Yeah.
The pride of life. And Paul was not above us. He was not above being human. And he said, lest I be exalted above measure. Exalt myself above. Think greater about me than what I really should be thinking. See, we all should be in hell this morning. We all should be living in our sin this morning. But hey, thank God there's a Calvary. Thank God there's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God there was a sacrifice for you and I that was made for you and I. And you and I have heard the gospel. We're to thank God that we've heard the gospel. Realizing multitudes never even heard once. And you and I have heard multiple times. We've got to hear the gospel. And we've got birthed in the family of God. And our sins are gone. And our names written down in the Lamb's book of life. Hey, thank God for that. But do not let it us forget when we look at those sinners out there on the streets, and we see them on the TV, and we see them out at the mall, and we see them down at the workplace, and we see them living the life. We need to be like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
Help us to have compassion. Help us to be caring. Help us to remember, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for where we was born and what we've been exposed to and what we've got to hear, you young people that are sitting here listening to the voice, you may not be listening to much preaching, but you've heard great preaching by many great men, and you get teaching from the Word of God. Many don't get that. You've been privileged to be able to say it and hear and soak up. I'm talking about wonderful words of life. Amen. Don't look down at your friends that's out in the world. And many of them, some's turned away from God, I know, but some, they've never had that chance.
Yeah.
They've never been afforded that chance to listen and be in a place. Hey, they didn't get the parents you got that you've been fussing about. Amen. Somebody say amen. They didn't have guidelines put on their life like guidelines been put on your life. And young people, if you got a mom and dad that loves Jesus, and if stay together loving the Lord, love Jesus, you know what you got? Some people would call it antique, but you got something that's rare. Amen. I may not get past this point, but it'll be okay. I'll get to preach again sometime. Amen. I'm talking about young people. If you got parents that love you, that parents that cares about you, I'm telling you, that's something that's rare.
Yeah.
Something that's rare. I mean, parents that are concerned about what you're going through. You know, there's been a survey done. It was done several years ago. And that parents, in a week's time, talks to their children less than 5 minutes. Moms and dads, you better check up and think about how much you talk to your kids. If you don't watch it, up in the morning before they get up, gone to work, come back home, and they're busy doing their activity, busy doing their things. I wonder how much you talked to your child last week. Don't look at you. May not be. You may have been more than 5 minutes, but how much time was it? This morning, Paul said, I didn't want to be lifted up above that which I am. Remember what Paul said? He said, I am what I am by what? The grace of God. If this morning when we got up and come to church, we should have been excited about being in the house of God. And you said, the only reason I'm coming down here is because of the grace of God. God saved me. God loved me. God's one bestowed is, for by grace you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Could it be that God wanted to help Paul deal with this thing called pride? A man's pride, Proverbs said, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 6:16-19, six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven is abomination of him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift to run to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God said, I hate these things. It's an abomination.
Yeah.
A proud look was the very first one on the list. And I wonder if God this morning just needs a deal in our life. Does God need to deal with some pride in us? Have we lifted ourselves up above measure? Have we thought more about us than what we really should have thought? I don't know. It could simply be that this thorn of the flesh made Paul realize that it wasn't going to get, the work of God was not going to get done by him. But it was going to get done by God working through him. Because is that not way it got? So if we don't watch it, we'll make these servants of God some kind of superheroes. But Paul's life was God working through Paul's life. Paul got up and put his pants on just like everybody else does. Amen. like ever. And Paul got up and ate and drank just like you eat and drink. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He got weary. He was just like you and I. And Paul realized, hey, I can't do this on my own. God's got to do this through me. My grace is sufficient. It made him depend more upon God. Could it be that God wanted to help Paul develop a prayer life? Oh, the great apostle Paul developed a prayer life? Well, it developed somehow. It started somewhere. Amen. Could it just be, we know this, the Bible says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. Whatever takes us to our knees can't be really, really that awful bad. What would make us become more, make us have more communication with the Lord may not be really all that bad. What would make us realize that we need to submit and humble and fall to Him and say, hey, well, I can't do it. I may have touched others and they'd be healed. I may have done great things. I may have seen great things in the heavens. But I've got to have God, depend upon God every day of my life if I'm going to make it to serve Him and be with Him. And I've got to have a relationship with Him. You think Paul could make it without the Lord? No, he had to have a relationship with Him. You know why we read in the book of Ephesians, the prayers that's in there, and the book, the epistles, all the prayers. Why? Because Paul was a prayer warrior. He prayed. This made him pray. Could it just be that a God, if I've moved forward here just a little bit, get ahead of myself, could it just be that God's trying to do the same thing in our lives? Could it be that God would allow a thorn, allow something that would come in our life that would cause us to fall down on our knees and seek God and supplicate and pray and talk to Him? Matter of fact, a lot of times we don't pray till we get in trouble anyway. If we don't watch it, you know what we are? What we do, we use God like a spare tire.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Hey. I dare say in the last month, I dare say since the beginning of this year, Brother Derek, I dare say there's nobody in this building except for this necessity to use it has checked their spare tire to make sure there's air in it. Now, if you've got a husband that's checked your spare tire in the last 2 months, you've got a wonderful man. Come on now. Amen. Come on, help me out, men. We don't check the spare tire. We know it's back there, or we hope it's back there. I was looking at a car and was going to sell it, and they said it's got a spare tire, and I said, I don't know if it does or not, amen. We're going to check and see if it's got one. I've been driving it around for a while. Amen. We hope it's got one. Some of y'all probably couldn't even find yours. I was looking at one was in the van, and the thing sat right here in the middle of the thing and had to screw something and dropped it down. You couldn't even see it.
Yeah.
Amen. But when we need it, we'll pull it out. Sometimes that's the way we treat God. Sometimes God's just trying to get his attention of his children and say, hey, I need some me time. I need you to have some time with me. And it couldn't just be that, hey, God wanted to help Paul have a prayer life. To help him with his prayer life, that he was agonizing. The Bible says he asked him three times. And I actually believe this. Now, I'm going to be wrong. You know what you can do in McCullology? You can just throw it out the window, push delete on your computer, whatever you want to do. But I just believe that Paul would have kept asking if God hadn't gave him an answer.
Yeah.
I believe he would have been persistent and kept asking. But he asked him three times, and God finally told him, he said, my grace is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Could it be that God was trying to develop a prayer life, and Paul would be agonizing over this? Paul would be asking, and guess what? Then Paul got an answer. Do you realize your answer to your prayer sometimes is not the answer you want?
Right.
Have you ever thought about that? I know it's happening, and you just didn't, you prayed about this, and you prayed about, and the answer came, and you said, Lord, that wasn't nothing like I was wanting. That wasn't nothing in what I was thinking. And you know what Paul had to do? Could it just be that God was dealing with Paul to help him with his prayer life? Because see, you know what he had to do? He had to trust God. Said God didn't work it out like he thought he ought to work it out. And God, he said, you know what? I'm just going to have to trust God with this thing. It's not the answer I wanted. Not, I wanted to go, but God, now, you know what God's done? Now God's building faith.
Yeah.
You just trust in me. Trust my grace. It's sufficient for you.
Yeah.
What I've chose for you is sufficient for you. If we would get it in our minds that, hey, God has this planet where he has chose to plant us. God is leading. If you're in the will of God, then God is leading you where he wants you to go.
Yeah.
You're where he wants you at his time. And now, I know we can mess up things and different things. But if you've got right with God and you're trying to live for the Lord, then your life, then God is trying to do a work in your life. And guess what? You're just going to have to trust him. But Lord, when we start raising a family and everything, we didn't plan for it to go this way. And when we started this business or when we started this job, we didn't plan for it to be like it. You know, there's something we don't plan for, and it's called burdens. It's called blunders. But God uses those things to build our faith. Just trust me. He's saying to the great apostle, Paul, my grace is sufficient. You keep asking about this, but my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Don't doubt me now. You've seen great things in heaven, now you come down to the earth, and I know you want something changed. You don't want it the way I've purposed it to be. Don't fight against me. Don't fight against God. So I'm just going to answer your prayer and let you know right now, I'm not doing what you want done, but I'm doing what I want to do. And I just want you to know, in the midst of what I'm doing, my grace is sufficient. And that means you'll be able to handle it, you'll be able to go through it, and really at the other end of it, it'll be helpful for you.
Yeah.
He's building his prayer life that he might have faith and how God answers his prayers. Wow. Let me give you another one very quickly. Could it be that God just wants to demonstrate his power in the life of Paul? Look at verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now I will say this, I don't know what the deficiency was. I do not know what the thorn of the flesh was. I believe it bothered him. I believe it was persistent. I believe it was physical. And it affected him. And I believe it must have made him feel like it was weaker. It made him feel like he couldn't do as much as he could do without this. But what God is saying, you don't understand. I'm not looking for your physical abilities. I'm not looking for your physical strength. I personally believe, again, I believe Samson was probably a healthy-looking man, but I don't think he looked like one of these big bodybuilders. And so it was the power of God that came upon him and made him to move and do what he could do. It was God, it wasn't him. It wasn't him working out 6 hours a day. No, it was God's power upon him. If you and I would just realize, if we would forget about what we can do in the flesh, we can forget about, hey, if we can forget about how we can preach or how we can sing or what we can do or how we can teach a Sunday class and say, Lord, I can't do it. I've got to have you to do it through me.
Amen.
There usually comes a little time in a young preacher's life Don't cast me under the bus here. But there usually comes a lot of time in a young preacher's life when they think that they can preach. Amen. And they just preach a few sermons, and God just shows them, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And they get humbled, and they go back to praying and talking to God,
yeah,
searching the scriptures and trying to find a sermon that God wants preached. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It happens. Why? You said, how do you know that? I don't know. I read it in a book somewhere. No, I know because of experience. So when you think you can do it, then God just realize you can't.
Yeah.
Then same thing, I believe it'll be the same thing. I don't know about teaching, but maybe the same thing in teaching, singing, serving God. When we think we can do it. And I actually believe in Christian, and a lot of, even in our good independent Baptist churches, I believe some people just doing it in the energy of the flesh because they have the ability to do it. And if we're going to see God move in our church and God move in our services again, we're going to have to get that flesh out of the way.
Amen.
And let God do it through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Could it just be that God was trying to help Paul to demonstrate his power? My grace is sufficient.
Amen.
You know what? I think I'll just take his grace and not my abilities. Amen.
Amen.
I think I'll just take his grace and him working through me than what I can do. People could say of Paul, and Paul spoke about the grace of God. Yep. People identify as preachers sometimes. This preacher, y'all probably won't know, but Brother James Tate preached a long time ago. They called him the second coming preacher. He preached on the second coming all the time. This one you'll know, Brother Joe Arthur.
Yeah.
They call him the glory preacher. He preaches a lot about the glory of God, the glory. And great preacher. Nothing wrong with none of that. But you know what I think God was trying to get Paul to be? A grace preacher.
Hey.
Amen. You just got to depend upon God's grace. And didn't Paul have a lot to say about the grace of God? Time would not allow us to do that. And then no, maybe it just not determine the power of God in his life about grace. But look what it says in verse number 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most what? This word, most what? Most.
Gladly.
Therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. Gladly. Happily. Joyously. Gladness. Maybe God was wanting to demonstrate that, Paul, you need to be happy serving God. Take this thorn of the flesh and let it demonstrate the power of the grace of God, but also let it demonstrate that there's joy in the midst of suffering. There's joy in the midst of going through this infirmity. There's joys. And did he not write the book of Philippians? I mean, even from prison, he had joy. Would you think he was in prison? You think he still had the thorn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
There's just something about the power of gladness. We would call it joy. I'm just trying to stay with the word to use here. There's just, Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there's something about the power of joy or the power of gladness when you see somebody going through a storm, a trial, a trouble. And you watch their life, you stand back in the distance and you pray for them and say, Lord, help them. And you're amazed how they can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of that trial, that tragedy, that trouble. Amen. It's a testimony to others.
Yeah.
The power of gladness. We've seen it here at the church. We've seen people face sickness, not for a week, not for a month, but for a whole year, 2 years. And you go to see them and they're just happy. They've got a joy in their heart. What about the power of that gladness, the power of it. Then let me go on. Maybe he just wanted to demonstrate the power of God, that God could take weakness and make it strong. that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know about you, but that's what I need. I need the power of Christ. I need it to rest upon me. I need it to control me and guide me. And I need the power of God. That's what you need, dads. Mom, that's what you need. I'm not a preacher. It's not just for the preacher. God wants to lead your life. You say, man, I'm living this Christian life, but I don't have any joy. I don't have any gladness. Seem like I don't even have grace. There's people sitting like that here this morning. You about ready to throw in the towel. You about ready to give up. You know, it could just be that you're not humbling or submitting to what God's already said. My grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
Rejoice the Lord. And again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
Have joy unspeakable and full of joy. Hey, just do what I've asked you to do. Just be what I've asked you to be. And don't worry and get so tied up in the things that you don't have and the things that you can't do and the places you can't be, and just be who I made you to be. Enjoy the life I've gave you. Now I'm going to get real serious here. I'm preaching now. Enjoy the spouse I've gave you. Enjoy the children I've let you have. Enjoy the job that I've put you on. Enjoy the church that I've put you in. Enjoy the talents that I've gave you. Still lusting and gleaming. I have other talents and other things. You know, how many people would do more in the church if they could do it as good as so-and-so could do it? Oh, preacher, I would love to do that. Yeah, but you know so-and-so does it so much better. They got, yeah. Oh, I would do it, but I don't think I can do it like other people can do it. Well, God's not asking other people to do it. God wants you to do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Well, you know, I teach that Sunday school class, but I believe you can find a better teacher. Well, right now, we ain't got a better one. We just don't want you. That sounds terrible, don't it? But God put you on our heart. You're available. You're not doing anything. You can do it. If you'd like to do it, well, somebody else. I wouldn't do it, preacher, but somebody else can do it better. Need somebody to be an usher. I would be an usher, but you know there's other people that can do that, and I'm sure they can do a whole lot. I'd be a greeter. You don't know how many times in the years that I've been pastoring I've heard this statement. I'd love to do it, but so-and-so else, they can do it so much better. But what are you doing for God?
Yeah.
Usually the so-and-so that they speak of has 8 jobs already. Did y'all just hear what I said? Usually the so-and-so they say usually already has. What we're trying to do is they don't need to be doing so much. Somebody else needs to be helping around here.
Amen.
Boy, it's getting quiet in the house of God, ain't it? Amen. But it's true. It's true. We won't let the power of God work through us. We won't let it rest on us. God wants to use you.
Amen.
And lastly, she's coming to pen. Lastly. Could it be that God was trying to help Paul detect the pleasures he should have in life? Look at verse number 10. He said, therefore, I take pleasure. I don't have time to preach this. Pleasure in infirmities. Infirmities means weakness. He said, I'm going to take pleasure. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to trust in the grace of God. I'm just going to let God work through me in my weaknesses, in my reproaches. Reproaches means disapproval. If you ever do anything for God, guess what? Somebody would disapprove of it.
Yeah.
Most people that disapprove of things will never do anything themselves, but they love to watch what other people does and try to pick it apart. But he said in reproaches, in necessities, things that just must be. He said, I'm going to take pleasure in things that just must be. He said, this thorn is just something that God has chosen to be. He said, I'm just going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to take pleasure in necessities, things that just must be. There's some things that's just necessity.
Yeah.
Most of you, it's necessity that you want work.
Yeah.
It's necessity. There's things that's going to be necessities. There's going to be things that are going to have to be done. There's going to be necessities in your life. They're just going to have to be done. Paul was the care of the churches and the things that he was facing. There was necessity, the things that was just on his slate. That was just on his chart. That was just on his plate. He's going to have to take care of them. And moms and dads, you got some things on your plate. You're just going to have to take care of them. You're just going to have pleasure in the midst of just doing the grind in and the grind day, in and out, doing what God, you know, you're supposed to do. Just do it. And have pleasure in it. Thank God we're able to raise children. Thank God we're able to get them to school. Thank God we're able to get them to church. Thank God we're able to get the Bible in them. Thank God that God just allowed us to be here and do the necessity of life.
Amen.
Then he said, in persecutions, we don't know nothing about that. Persecutions talk about the inflictions of pain. And then he said, in distresses, the state of being in danger, extreme pain, pressed without out of measure, we could be said, the distresses. The times that this comes, it overwhelms us. The times will come when we won't think we can go another mile.
Yeah.
Don't think we can go to another church service. Don't think we can read a Bible another time. He said, you know what? I'm just going to take pleasure in those distresses that come. Lack of faith. Lack of believing. A lack of commitment, failure, fell in God. It's going to get up, get right, keep on moving on. Do you realize the great apostle Paul said, he said, and I'm paraphrasing in the book of Romans, he said, there's things in my life, he said, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing.
Yeah.
And things I know I shouldn't be doing, I find myself doing. And you know what that great apostle Paul said? He said, I have to buffet. That was not rinds. He said, I have to buffet this old flesh. He's not one talking about a buffet. He's talking about beating himself back. Sorry, brother. He wasn't talking about feeding the flesh. He was talking about fighting against the flesh.
Yeah.
You know why you and I are not walking the Christian walk like we should walk it? And why we're not being, and why we're not having joy and having peace and having the prosperity of the Lord. And I'm not talking about just money. This money is not the prosperity of God altogether. Do you know why? Because we haven't came to this fact. And being determined, I'm just going to be pleased. Paul told Apostle Timothy, I told Timothy to be content. It's going to be content. God's made me with this walk. God's made me with this. God's allowed me to have this or have that. I'm just going to be content. I won't take pleasure in these things that come. If we would take more pleasure in the things that comes than pitying ourselves because they came, this church would be different. My life would be different. Your life would be different. We're standing, our heads are bowed.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message. God, I pray you'd help us to glory in the things that you allow in our life. Not the things we choose, but the things that you put for our good, for your glory. God, I pray you'd help us today, this week, Lord, to be faithful to your will for our life. I pray you'd help us to be a testimony, to show the love of Christ to a lost and dying world that's looking for something, someone that they've never met before who can bear their burden. God, I pray you'd help us to go from here this evening, this morning, bring us back this evening into your house. In Jesus' name, amen.